in the corner, going after it there. Keandre Miller, the defenseman. But the Predators counter back very quickly, driving to the net, and Parsonen with the goal. Juuso Parsonen, maybe his third shift of the NHL, gets the goal, and the Predators lead it 1-0.
That's a pretty good way to start your NHL career right there. He set the bar pretty high.
There you go. Juuso Parsonen with a goal in his NHL debut. Steve Sullivan and Scott Nichols joins the show now. My question for you, Scott. You see Juuso Parsonen in his first game being able to come in and contribute right away. And you look at some other development of players within the Pred system. Look at a Cody Glass or a Philip Tomasino who haven't been able to bring in that kind of impact. What's the difference with Juuso Parsonen?
Well, I think he played 2 years pro last year in Finland. And then I think the biggest positive for him was he came back after his season in Finland, came to Milwaukee and played for us in the playoffs. And was he going to play first in the playoffs? We didn't know because, you know, our team goes through 76 games and we're going first round of playoffs against Manitoba. And we have this kid that came in for a week and then we watched him in practice and good detail. He's a big kid. So then we just, you know, put him in the fourth line role and then he just kind of gradually gained more momentum. And I think that was a huge stepping stone for him to realize what our, you know, the American League, North American hockey looks like, smaller ice session or smaller ice rink. So he was good. And then he just kind of, you know, had a great preseason here. And then he's just kind of spread his wings. I think when Jankowski got called up, he kind of moved into his spot and he was still playing really well for us. And then Jankowski came up here and he kind of, his wings even spread even more. And then he's got lots of confidence and handles the puck, big, strong kid. And I was excited for him. It's fun when you work with these kids for so long and they score their NHL goal. And even just giving them a phone call in the afternoon, told him he's welcome to the National Hockey League. You're getting a call up, and his head's just spinning because I think we all remember it. Sully remembers when you get that call from your coach or GM that you're playing in your first NHL game. So I was proud of him. He's a good player.
Sully, what was your role the first game that you played? Do you remember, like, Juuso Parsonen comes in, he ends up playing more minutes than any forward in the game. It was pretty interesting. They threw him in there. He was doing so well. He handled all this stuff. So what was your first game like?
Yes. You know what? A lot of times it's the opportunity to have success and be put into the same role. So in the American League, you're a goal scorer. You're in the top six role. You're trying to make a contribution. You're trying to make the next level, but you're still trying to make a contribution to your team down there. And for me, when I got called up, yeah, it was an injury to a top six player, and I got put into that role, and very similar. I was, played a lot of minutes, played some power play minutes, was fortunate to score a goal in my first game too. So you're just, the confidence that you have from the American League and being able to have success down there, it's not like you're coming up being put in a third or fourth line role, playing minimal minutes, and then trying to figure out your role from there going forward. By doing so, he was just put in a top six role right away, played a ton of minutes. So his confidence that he had in the American League just shifted right to the National Hockey League, and hopefully that continues for him. So that was the same thing for me. So I was very, very fortunate.
So this is what everybody's wondering is now, can he, this is the challenge too, right? Can he do it again tonight? Can he do it again next week, next month? Or is there just going to be that process? You never quite know, do you?
You never know. You look at Tommy Novak last year. But he played 27 games, and then we sent him down. He didn't get another game last year, and he's working his way back up. Like, sometimes, usually the path is they come up, they get shot out of a cannon, you know, and then their game kind of maybe dips a little bit in a couple weeks, and then instead of his confidence going sideways, send him back down, then the next call up, and usually it's about your second or third one, and they really hit the stride. You look at Tanner Janot, he's a prime example. He got his first game, he might have only played 6 or 7 minutes, went down, and he was destined to come back up, and he came back up, he never went back down again. So everyone has a little bit different path. It's hard to, like, he had this outstanding first game, but it's hard. The NHL is a hard league. It's hard to produce every night. It's hard to be consistent every night, and the good players that are, that's why they're NHL hockey players.
One thing I know a lot of people have to be noticing is how well Milwaukee's playing, and a lot of the young players, Parsonen was one of them, but a lot of the young players, Phil Tomasino was one that there was a lot of talk after camp, the decision to send him down. It looks like he's responded really well, and he's playing big minutes, playing center, doing a lot of things down there. What are you seeing?
Yeah, we moved him to center just for his growth and just more, you know, just have more responsibility on the ice. So that's he played center in junior. It's he can always go back to wing, but he's plays 18 minutes power play, plays all key situations. He's playing with good players. We have a good young team where, you know, we roll four lines. We don't take a whole lot of penalties, and I think we outshot Chicago. We had 23 shots in the second period. Like, they get at it. You know, they're a fun team. Our D are real mobile, and we're young. Like, we got probably seven rookies in the lineup. So it's going to – they'll hit a wall at some point. It's this is the American League. It's hard to produce, and then we got 72 games. But right now, we're excited. They're progressively getting better and better. And but like I said, they'll probably – we'll have our hiccups for sure.
We're talking to Scott Nickel, assistant general manager for the Predators, heads up the Milwaukee team in the AHL. Steve Sullivan, former Predator here, also has been involved in player development. So how did you guys come up with your style of how you wanted to go about player development? You come right out of playing. I don't know if anybody sort of taught you how it goes, or is just kind of a feel from your own experiences. What was it like for you?
For me, I leaned on Scott. Like, he was, right? Yeah, he was there before I was, for a year or two before I did it. So, I mean, just kind of figuring out, you know, traveling, how many times you go see the players, I mean, what the expectations are. Obviously, you know, you get your own feel of, you know, what the player needs and how you're going to teach them. So that's different than player development, but just the whole role itself, you got to lean on some people who have done it in the past and have a blueprint of having some success with it, and he's definitely one of the best at it. So I leaned on him, but and then you start finding your own way and how you want to do it, and tweaking it and trying to find it, make it your own, and bringing in your own staff and people that you think can have success in helping you. So but yeah, you got to lean on some people to figure it out, because it's not an easy path just to be like, hey, you're the player development coach, and how do you do this? And there's no blueprint for it, so you got to lean on some good people.
It seems like there's the technology, the knowledge of, you know, sleep patterns and nutrition and stuff like this come a long way over the last 15, 20 years.
Yeah, like, Sully and I did it ourselves. Like, I was the only guy.
Me too.
And it just hasn't been too long ago where now I got a forward development coach and Nathan Gerby. We got Rob Scuderi, our D. We have Marietta, who's our nutritionist. We have Vicky Woosley, does all our mental side of things. And it's a team. We had two goalie development coaches. Like, I did it all myself. And, you know, you just work. That's the thing. You just put your head down and work. And I remember staying a week in Victoriaville, Quebec, like at a Quality Inn. People are coming up with skidoos and parking the skidoos where I got my car. I'm like, where am I? But that's what you do as player development. Yeah. You go to these little towns and these little cities, and you work with your players. You go on the ice with your players if they're in junior, and college you can't. But it's just, I don't know, communication with the Zooms and everything with the video, and just the kids want it though. You know, when we played, there's no chance we had somebody like that. It was like, okay, your season's over. Do you want to sign a contract with Buffalo Sabres? And I never talked to Buffalo for 2 years before they drafted me. So it's changed. But I think that's why the young kids now coming into the NHL, they have confidence and they're playing younger and younger, because basically you're grooming them and helping them. You're showing them the Predator way at 18 years old. So when they come in and they go to training camp, they don't stick out like a sore thumb. They're part of our fabric already.
You guys, I was curious, the way the game is played today, contrast that with, you guys played on a great Predators team, for sure. I mean, together, there was a couple of years right after that lockout, you guys were as good as anybody. But the game, even though then, I think there was a little emphasis of trying to open up the game a little bit more, now, the way that you can't hook, you can't slash, there's a freedom for the skilled players. I'm just wondering, if you guys put yourself into that game today, especially you, Sully, what could you see? We were talking downstairs. I was talking with Hal and Mace, just what kind of things you might have been able to do in this era.
Yeah, it's a different game, and for the better. I mean, obviously, it's a much more skilled game than it was when I broke in 96 or 97. So, and for the better. I think the 04-05 lockout was a huge thing. That's where they took all the rules and changed them and made it a much faster game, and smaller players now are able to have some success, because it wasn't just a big rugged defenseman that were just kind of clutch and grab. So what could you do now? I mean, who knows? You like to think about it, but it's still the same. You still have to have success. You still have to do the same things. You got to go to the dirty areas. You have to go to the blue paint. You're gonna have to try to score some dirty goals. But you see some of these young kids with the talent that they have and the skill sets that they have. We never had that. We never even imagined to do that when we were growing up, right? I think we're a little bit more structured than just the free-flowing that they have now, but so much better game to watch now.
So, all right, Caroline, the Saturday goal, we mentioned Parson.
Right.
You brought him up.
Mm-hmm.
They were wearing the reverse retros, which
I
resembled.
Love the reverse retros.
Yes, and they resembled the old, but do you remember, have you ever seen a picture of the old, the actual retro that it's inspired
by? Oh, yeah, 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 of course.
They call it the mustard,
uh-huh.
Right? So these guys used to wear the mustard. The team's record in the mustard was awesome. It was like 38-19-4 or something. It was like, you guys had a huge winning percentage.
Good
and this
juju
was even,
in those jerseys.
Yeah,
huh?
And it was even before the lockout, before the team really got good.
Yep.
So that's why they kept going to. But I know you guys didn't exactly enjoy wearing them just because it was so thick, right? That was the...
It was the heaviest jersey ever worn. But looking at it live, right, when it was on the hanger in the locker, it was a nice jersey.
It was a cool look.
It was a cool look because you had, like, the blue behind the yellow.
Right, that's
right?
What the created the mustard look.
That's
right?
What created the mustard look. And obviously without HDTV, it probably didn't look very good on TV, right? But I liked it. I didn't like wearing it because it was so heavy, right?
Yeah.
And then if it got wet, it was even worse. But the new retro jerseys are outstanding. Having the vibrant gold that they have with all the logos and the look of the 03-04 jersey and mustard jersey is a phenomenal job. Hopefully they sell out and a lot of people wear them.
Scooter, I think I was interviewing one time. I think you were the first guy to bring this up to me. It was like between periods I was interviewing. You're like, this is like, it was off the air. You said, I think this is like a fur coat. I feel like I'm wearing a fur coat.
That's all I could afford. That's my fur. But it shows you how old we are. Like, I look at the Buffalo Sabres. That was a jersey I wore. Now it's a retro. This one's a retro.
Yeah.
I was like, geez, how old am I right now?
They're all coming back.
It's good to go old school, right?
Yep.
Absolutely. I love the retro look. Steve Sullivan, former Predator, Scott Nickel, Director of Player Development for the Nashville Predators. Appreciate you joining us.
Thanks for having us.